Folks, grab your pancakes, grab what you need. Draft day is 48 hours away, but today it's different because we're going to talk Cleveland, we're going to talk draft, we're going to talk maybe a little bit of fantasy football from free agency and the draft. Why? Because Andy McNamara is here, last seen on A Degenerate's Guide to the Super Bowl. But sir, how are you doing today?
Griff, I'm doing good, brother. You're right, pancakes, the draft day movie, Sonny Weaver Jr., Vontae Max, no matter what, we're ready.
Yep, exactly. You know what, we're ready. Last podcast I did, I was kind of talking just, I don't know how it is from the Cleveland point of view, but from like the New England point of view, just because obviously you guys have been in our shoes for years. Did you always feel tired of like when draft days, like in that final stages where you're like, just get me to Thursday night when Goodell's on the stage announcing what's going to happen with my team? Or is it like an excitement? Like where did you stand from like say over the last 10 years?
For me, it was always an excitement. And a lot of it was like, it was nervous excitement because more often than not, they got it wrong. So you're like, oh man, could they not screw it up this year? And usually they did. You know, I harken back to 2014, and you had the two first-round picks, Justin Gilbert and Johnny Manziel. Oops. Brandon Whedon. Oops. Trent Richardson. Oops. But the excitement leading up, this is, especially for bad teams, this is Christmas. You're unwrapping the toy. All the hope. Now, you have from this weekend through to September to think, to talk up your rookies are going to be the best. Until it hits the field, it could all be true. It's just like looking at that package under the tree. It could be a bike or it could just be a set of socks. Who knows?
You know what? You are 100% right in that sense, just because you don't know what you're getting. Like, look, everyone thinks they know what's happening, but I feel like right now you spend so much time hyping up the pros of these prospects that the cons get overshadowed a lot of the times, because you know what? You don't all these analysts aren't going to sell you on, oh, hey, this guy runs like for example, Xavier Worthy, the wide receiver from Texas. The guy can run a 4.22, which is incredible, but his hands aren't exactly there at a first round receiver grade. So that might get him drafted a little bit higher to where you see it. Hey, he's got the flash, he's got the speed, but the hands need a little bit of work. So that's where this all stuff gets kind of skewed, in my opinion, where it's like that. Yeah. And I only say that from the Patriot point of view, because it's all the stuff like, you know, oh, what are they going to do? It's the new regime. It's, oh, hey, is ownership more involved than we think? It's just this whole like circus where I'm just like, God, just make the picks and let's see what happens and then go from there.
Well, the Patriots are, I think, one of the more interesting draft stories this year, because it's just been the Bill Belichick way for two decades. We don't know. Yep. Right? We don't. Is it Mayo with lots of influence? Is it the front office? Does Kraft take more of a step? This is all, and no matter what they say publicly, we don't fully know. We're going to see. Do they try keeping the same type of mindset? This is going to be really interesting. I'll tell you this. If the Patriots draft J.J. McCarthy where they are, this is still the Bill Belichick way, my friend. Let me tell you that. And it's not a good way in 2024. If they go some different route, then it could be interesting. You guys get J.J. McCarthy, it's Mac Jones 2.0, and you'll be drafting another quarterback in 2 years, I'll tell you.
Yeah, that's the thing I don't want to have happen. At the end of the day, I still think they stick to Drake May. But
I like Drake May.
I do too.
He's not perfect, but I like him.
No, it's a work in progress pick that I'm not totally like going to be mad about. It's going to be one of those things where, hey, the first year is probably not going to be glitz and glamour. It's going to be like what we saw from Baker in a sense, where, you know what, hey, it takes some time to develop and work. But with quarterbacks, I want to go to your team, because your team is one of the most intriguing quarterback teams of the offseason. I remember last year when you were on, and I was saying this all last offseason, that Stefanski's seat was the hottest. But I don't think I've ever seen a coach's seat go from flaming hot to cold as ice minus 1,000 degrees Celsius, because we're Canadians here, Andy.
True. Coach of the year.
Yeah, coach, that's the thing too, where unless Jimmy Haslam does something crazy, coach of the year's bottom, I think at least 2 to 3 years of job security in Cleveland.
Definitely.
Griff,
and he's going to be him and Andrew Berry are going to be getting a new extension this offseason. So that hasn't happened. So they're on tap to get an extension. So both of their seats, nice and chill.
Yep. They basically can go like, hey, Andrew Berry, I brought this team to the playoffs and I made the moves necessary to get us to the playoffs, even though the playoff game didn't go in your favor. And Kevin Stefanski, two coach of the years in 5 years is something you do not see in the NFL.
No.
So I wanted to ask about Cleveland, because their quarterback situation, like, okay, you have Deshaun Watson, but then you bring in Jameis Winston, but then you also bring in Tyler Huntley, three guys who are very Pro Bowl capable quarterbacks who have been to Pro Bowls. I came up with a theory today, and I wanted to have you hear this out, because you're a member of the Dog Pound. Do you think that there's a potential for one of these guys to get traded for if someone on another team is to get hurt in camp? You know, remember like what happened to Teddy Bridgewater all those years ago and Sam Bradford was traded from the Eagles to the Vikings?
Yep. Potentially, the Browns did trade Josh Dobbs out of camp last year to Arizona. So not impossible, and there is precedent for it. I would suggest probably not for this reason. Apparently, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, DTR, who was the fifth-round rookie last year, had some nice flashes, beat Pittsburgh, but very slender, got hurt a couple times, had to have hip surgery. And Griff, apparently that hip has not recovered from my Cleveland sources, has not recovered as much as they like. So Tyler Huntley is more of a third string safety net than acquiring assets, let's say, to trade one off. And with Deshaun's injury history, it could very likely be that you send DTR to the practice squad because I don't think there's going to be that big of a demand for him. No. And you have four quarterbacks on the roster with similar or complementary skill sets. So I would think that the Browns hold on to all four.
You know what? I agree with that. I just thought of mine. Like, I could see a team calling Cleveland, you know, in the event that someone goes down. Like, look, we don't hope for it. It's just in the NFL, these sort of things happen. So you have to be prepared for them at a given notice of, hey, someone pivots their leg the wrong way. Boom, their ACL is done. They're done for the year. It's just, it's the nature of the sport.
And again, that's what happened with Josh Dobbs last year. The Browns were happy with Dobbs. And then Arizona came calling. I guess Murray got banged up or whatever it was. And
torn ACL.
Yeah. And maybe wasn't ready in time. Maybe that was it. And then it's like, okay, well, then they got whatever they got for him, sixth round pick, I think. And that was it. And then, okay, then you rolled with DTR. That was a mistake. But then you went, you got PJ Walker, you got my guy Joe Flacco, and now it's a whole new quarterback room outside of Deshaun Watson and DTR, who's injured.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Because you know what? You have the dynamic now to where if Watson gets hurt again, because, like, let's be honest, he hasn't really been healthy throughout his entire tenure with Cleveland and even his later years in Arizona, to where I know Jameis Winston's not perfect, but he's a good safety net to have. Better than Josh Dobbs, in my opinion. I know you're saying you're happy with Josh Dobbs, but Jameis Winston's that good safety net. He's also that character blue guy. I'm still intrigued by your offense as a whole because, look, you have the pieces. I think we truly saw what David Njoku was capable of last year. The guy flashed amazing. Yeah. Amari Cooper kind of showed the world not have how good he is, but, hey, Dallas should not have traded him for what they traded him for. And then you got Nick Chubb coming off of the gruesome leg injury, but it seems like he's going to be good to go. Apparently, mini camp, you may see him involved, so we'll have to wait and see what happens there. But this is your division right now, honestly, is one of the most intriguing because you have Baltimore, who's going to be pretty good. Cincinnati's a wild card. And even though Pittsburgh's quarterback situation, it's still not perfect, I still expect them to win probably 8 games. Like, I don't, unless an injury happens again, I don't think there's a team with under 7 wins in the AFC North in 2024.
I saw a great meme on Earth Day on Monday, Griff, and it was Pittsburgh Steelers contributing to Earth Day by recycling garbage quarterbacks. Like, yes, you get my like, NFL memes account. You get my like on that one. it is truly the best division of football, and I don't think there can be much of an argument for it. Now, I will give you and the listeners a bit of an update on Nick Chubb from what we heard last week. So apparently, they restructured his deal, went from, I think it was about $12 million. None of it was guaranteed, just how the contract was structured, to only 2.25 or 2.3 million guaranteed. The word is he just started running on dry land. He was doing water therapy before. And from what I'm hearing is don't expect Nick Chubb on the field till November. November. Now, he is trying. Now, it has been reported Nick Chubb is trying his darndest, and damn it, if anybody can do it, it's Nick Chubb. He's trying to get back for opening day, but apparently that is just like that would be, you know, buying the lottery ticket and winning the lottery. It would be absolutely outlandish to think that that is probable. So if, you know, fantasy wise, if you think, don't be counting on Nick Chubb for your whole season. Probably November is what we're looking at more likely.
He's the kind of guy for fantasy football, because that's a beautiful segue you did there, to where if it's the fifth or sixth round and he's still sitting there because he has that IR question mark, you know what? Hey, take him and stash him. I feel like
there you go.
Still going to, because like I wouldn't use that like early, even second or third round pick on him just because
no.
That's there. even this year, I'm thinking of fantasy football too. There's a lot of guys that, like, I don't want to buy stock into just yet because, look, it's still, we're 4 months from draft season for that. And believe me, we're going to be talking about a lot. But you have a crop of guys that you can rely on for fantasy football. Mm-hmm. I think that's Tyreek Hill. I think that's Christian McCaffrey. George Kittle, I'm going to put in there. I'm high on Bijan Robinson. I know last year I was a little low on him, but this year I think this is going to be the year that people, like, see him. Hey, look, that guy's good. Breece Hall is another one.
Well, Pitts.
Kyle
with
Pitts.
Kirk Cousins?
Yes.
Right?
It's more about Arthur Smith than Kirk Cousins for me. It's more about there. Atlanta, though, if you want a good wide receiver too, Rondale Moore could be a very good option there as well. He was traded from the Arizona Cardinals. It's a bit of a speedster, a bit of an X guy. So if you needed someone from your flex or a bench wide receiver, Rondale Moore is the guy I lean towards.
I don't hate that on a late pick because that he's going to be overlooked. Later round pickup to see. I like that one. I'm going to mark that down. I like that.
Yes. And then one player, I'm going to say this right now, like, he still is probably going to be very good, but he's going to piss a lot of people off again, like he did last year. And that's Mr. Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce.
Yes.
Because I have a theory on him to where Kansas City, like, here's the thing, too. If you're going to be Kansas City, go for 15 or go for Hollywood Brown. That's what I'm going to tell you right now. With Travis Kelce, he's still going to do his thing, but I feel like they tell him, hey, we need you for 3 to 4 games in the winter. You know what? Between September to December, just chill, coast along, be healthy. He'll still have those games. Like, I'm not saying he's going to be bad. I'm just thinking, like, from a fantasy standpoint, he could be that, like, wonky player to, like, 1 week, hey, he's good.
Yeah.
And 1 week, it's like, why did I draft Travis Kelce or why did I trade for Travis Kelce?
I think it's going to be much less consistent than we've been used to. And you're right. That's going to piss a lot of people off. And now we're seeing, like, I saw an interesting mock today that the Chiefs drafted Brock Bauer as a replacement. Not a replacement like this year, but as a, you know, heir apparent. Wouldn't that be something? That would be interesting. Now, I see, personally, I could, like, couldn't you see, like you mentioned Xavier Worthy earlier, going right to the Chiefs? Like, that's a perfect. You get him at 32, you get the speed, and we're all like, damn it, Kansas City, you've done it again.
There's him, and there's Xavier Leggett from South Carolina that I think
will be
at that point. Ladd McConkey's another one, but that's just no. Kansas City, you do not need another speedster wide receiver like Ladd McConkey who can.
I'll tell you who I like. Right. I want to tell you who I like in this draft at wide receiver outside of Marvin Harrison. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the cream of the crop. I think it's just that's the
most
guy.
NFL
guy. He's. Most NFL ready, absolutely phenomenal. Malik Nabers is my number two. But my number three, I think when we look back in a couple of years, Griff, the guy who's going to be number three, Adonai Mitchell out of Texas. That's my guy.
I like it.
Right? Texas, 6'1", 205, 39.5-inch vertical, 4.35 second 40 at that height and speed? You kidding me? I love this man. I hope he doesn't go to the Bengals or a team that I hate because I hate when that happens. But I wanted the Browns desperately to be able to get him at 54. I thought pre-combine maybe, now, not a chance. He's not dropping that far. No way.
No. So my opinion on the wide receivers for this year's draft class, because I still say this offensively, quarterback and receiver, it's great. Running back, it's not a good. So if you're fishing for fantasy picks for rookies, this is not the year to do it. The rookie class this year for running backs, it's not that strong. But wide receiver, Marvin Harrison Jr., I don't know if he's going to be the best receiver from this class, but he's the guy who's, like, most ready to go in the league. It's Malik Nabers that I look at that probably could end up being the wide receiver one from this draft class. He's the guy that, if you put him in the right situation, I know a lot of mocks have him going to the Giants right now. The Giants are a team that have a ton of question marks around them. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. The one that I'm most intrigued about is that offense in Chicago with if Romo Dunze goes there at 9, you added Keenan Allen. You have DJ Moore. Another great late round tight end who may not be as late anymore is Cole Kmet. We know what Cole Kmet's capable of, especially now that he's going to have Caleb Williams at the helm at quarterback. So this, just tying it all back into where if Chicago does go offense, it's spreading out the room to where I would go a combination of Moore and whoever they draft. But if not, Keenan Allen's a very good option to have there as well. Romo Dunze is going to have a lot of flash. There's, like, when I say, like, Malik Nabers is going to be the number one, I don't mean, like, Marvin Harrison's going to be bad or anything. It's just Marvin Harrison's going to be that guy that, you know what, if he goes to Arizona, I think it's going to be great. They're kind of assembling the building blocks there. But if for some reason he goes to the LA Chargers.
Oh, you they need that, him. That should be their guy.
Yeah. You run that ticket, and that's where, you know what, sometimes you have to overpay for a fantasy footballer. That's the case where you overpay. If he goes with Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert in LA, you stack get him it. In the second round. You stack him up in the second round. Because
with Herbert,
there's one wide receiver from last year who has a ton of question marks, and that's not because of who he is, but it's because of what's around him, and that's Justin Jefferson. I still really like him. It's just I don't know how much I trust from the fantasy standpoint because of the quarterback situation. But then here's the thing. He still didn't play in a lot of games last year, and he still hit 1,000.
That's right.
So him, Jamar Chase. I know Jamar Chase wasn't as effective once Joe Burrow got hurt as well. And then you have like Tyreek Hill as well. Like, it's just, this is the time of year with fantasy football where you really think about it. I don't want to say dynasty just because I'm not too big into dynasty. But a friend of mine has a dynasty league that he plays in that's very cool. Basically, you take the guys when they're college athletes, and then you take them and you follow them through. So when they graduate from college to the NFL, which I thought was pretty cool as well.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. It's a case where really we have to see where the chips fall from the draft, of course, for fantasy before making all our decisions, because that can severely affect depth chart. It could be a surprise position where it's like, oh, man, this team I did not expect taking a wide receiver. How does that affect? Like, let's say, for example, the Bengals. Let's say the Bengals take, I'm not putting it out in the universe. Let's say they take my guy, Adonai Mitchell, or Thomas, right? Yeah, it is such a deep class. But let's say you take a guy there. T. Higgins has walked back his wanting to be traded comments, but he could, if the Bengals go draft a guy on a rookie deal, you have to pay Jamar Chase. Maybe that's someone you're looking at for fantasy dynasty, and you're like, hey, player X who just got drafted, that's who I want now to move forward. And then again, too, maybe it's like in just a redraft leagues, it's like, well, if they drafted this guy and T. Higgins might be on the way, do I want to draft T. Higgins as high as I might have wanted to in a different scenario?
My other thing, too, is as well, is with these receivers. Because I've been looking at it, so obviously as a Patriots fan, look, wide receiver's a huge need. It's a big need.
Yeah.
But if you look at the free agency class for wide receiver next year, it is just, it's bonkers who's going to be available. It's the 2020 draft class, which a lot of those guys aren't signed. Jerry Jeudy obviously got traded to Cleveland.
Yeah, and we re-upped him.
Yep, and you re-upped him. CeeDee Lamb still without a contract. Michael Pittman re-signed to a new deal. Brandon Ayuk is a very weird situation.
Yeah.
And then you have T. Higgins as well, who's going to be franchised. But I still think there's a chance, I think T. Higgins more than likely will be dealt because they do have to back up the Brinks truck for Chase. We saw what they did this year. They just cut ties with Mixon. Hey, no problem. There you go. Because they paid Joe Burrow. Meanwhile, you guys are in that sticky situation as well to where if you want a wide receiver for fantasy football, guys, number two in Cleveland, you don't even think about it. You saw he literally is the guy last year that won people their championships thanks to that game against the Houston Texans. I believe it was on Christmas Eve.
Yes. Yes. Amari Cooper. Yeah. And this is the tricky part when it comes, like, it's almost a case where outside of David and Njoku, and I'm not saying I wouldn't like to have Amari Cooper on my fantasy team. I would. And I did. And I did actually went in the league. I won in the championship last year. But you bring Jerry Jeudy in. Is this a transitional year? Is it still Cooper's team? What about if the Browns draft the guy at 54? What about Cedric Tillman, who dynasty I still want shares of Cedric Tillman? I'm still a believer. David Njoku, how's he working? And the biggest question of all, can Deshaun Watson stay on the field? And if he does, is he any good? This is why I think fantasy-wise, the Cleveland Browns are actually one of the teams I want to stay away from as much as possible, outside of like an Njoku and stuff. But remember this, you said it. He came on strong at the end of the year. Who was the quarterback at the end of the year? It wasn't Deshaun Watson. David Njoku was lights out hot with Joe Flacco, not with Deshaun Watson. So not to say it doesn't happen, and I really hope it does, but that's just something to keep in mind. Everybody whose numbers popped, remember who was at quarterback when they popped. It wasn't Deshaun Watson.
That's it. I think it was just because once Deshaun got out, Joe Flacco took the game and simplized it. You know,
he did.
They didn't overthink it. They didn't do anything else. It also doesn't hurt when you also have the defensive player of the year on the other side of the ball as well.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that there's other contributors of the Cleveland defense, but like, it's just so very interesting right now with Cleveland as a whole, just because, like I said before, you don't know where it's going to go. Obviously, look, Cleveland's coming up, though. Cleveland Browns Stadium hosting SummerSlam 2024.
That's right. New offensive coordinator, too. Yeah, new offensive coordinator, Ken Dorsey, coming up.
Which is going to be very interesting to see, considering how everything ended in Buffalo. But I feel like it could be better just because you don't have that Josh Allen dynamic there anymore. You don't have that whole, because him and Josh were buddy-buddy. Him and Josh were very close, tight-knit. Meanwhile, here it's a new start, it's a new slate. But my ultimate question for you is when you look at this Cleveland team, where is their most, because I want to see what, I believe this year, Cleveland Browns, I'm trying to remember if you guys have your first round pick this year or not, just because I know.
No, we don't, my friend. No, this is the last year without it. 3 years in a row really puts a dampening on the draft for me, because there's no first round pick again. See, if Andrew Berry was like Sonny Weaver Jr. in the movie Draft Day, Griff, he would have given away those picks for Deshaun, then got it back, plus David Putney, because he felt like it. But we didn't get Putney, and I don't have my first round picks again. So we have number 54. And the Browns, traditionally, under Berry in this era, have traded down from that second round pick, except for when they got JOK and traded up a few spots. So there's no first round pick. That's why Andrew Berry did a great job in filling spots at every position. So there's not a glaring area of need. You got Jerry Jeudy for some depth. You got Jefferson on the D-line. You got the pieces. You filled out the linebacker core. So you can truly go best player available. Whereas, let's say a team like Buffalo traded Stephon Diggs way too early. If the Bills don't take a receiver in the first round, they are nuts. Who do you got? It's ridiculous.
I said this last night as a Pats, not last night, I said this 2 days ago, excuse me, as a Pats fan, I said I'd much rather be where we are right now than where the Buffalo Bills are, because Buffalo's in that purgatory where you're like, you've hit a fork in the road, you've tried year in and year out, going all in, acquiring all this talent, and you're in a cap crunch now to where, look, you got to say sayonara to not just guys that are good, but guys who are cornerstones of your franchise. Meanwhile, in New England, they're kind of like building it up slowly. So we'll have to wait and see what happens there. And look, we all know a lot of Bills Mafia are like, they're like clamoring for like a Brian Thomas Jr. or like Mitchell from Texas. I was blanking on his first name for a second, but
they didn't get him.
You know what? That's the thing. You got to go out and get him, because you're a team that's expected to contend. And I prefer Buffalo in first place than Miami or New York. That's just me. But with Cleveland, though, like, obviously you don't have your first round pick. You are picking at 54. So, like, what's the immediate draft need for your team when you look at it? Like, is it a cornerback? Is it a defensive end? Is it a lineman? Either side of the ball? Like, when it comes to Cleveland, excuse me, like, what are you thinking? Like, if you're Andrew Berry.
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw something sort of a bit off of the beaten path, like it was 2 years ago when the draft was in Vegas. I was down there for it, and they took Martin Emerson Jr. And I'm in the hotel, and Griff, I'm thinking, to be quite honest, like, who the bleep is Martin? A quarterback? I got five core. What? Then the next day they trade Troy Hill. Martin Emerson Jr. is all of a sudden better than Greg Newsome. And I'm like, okay, Andrew Berry, I see you, brother. I see you. All right. That was a great move. Yeah. That was a position where they felt that player was the highest on their board. They didn't need it then, but boy, you fast forward a couple of years and it's a good pickup. So Andrew Berry loves corners. He's open about it. Loves cornerbacks. Personally, unless there's some crazy run on receivers, which there could be, and they're all gone, and then you can really wait to the third round and get somebody who's just as good, then reach. I would go wide receiver if it's a case. I would take a Ricky Pearsall from Florida. Brandon Rice would be fun because it's Jerry Rice's kid. I don't know how good he's going to be, but that'd be fun. A lot of these guys who I really like had too good of combines. Like Troy Franklin might be there. I wouldn't mind Franklin. God, I would trade up for that guy, man. They're not going to do it, but I would trade up and get him. So you could go in a few different directions. Like, does Ladd McConkey drop to 54 pre-combine? Yeah, now doubt it. So if, let's say, the case is, okay, all the wide receivers, that kind of second chunk that I named, are gone. Yep. All right. Maybe you can swing back maybe in the third and pick up somebody else. You still need to get a receiver with this new offense that it's only going to be one tight end on the field. You're only going to be doing the 11 personnel. You're only going to be having one tight end, one running back, and a whole bunch of receivers. You need more receivers. So if that's the case, do I look Edge rusher. Well, they're probably all going to be gone by then. D tackle, possibly. Again, you're deep there, but they're older, so you could use a rotation pick. You did take Simone Ika last year as well, who hasn't done anything. There's a guy who I really like, and if he's there, boy, I think I'd get him. Peyton Wilson, linebacker. Holy cow, Griff. I looked into this guy. This guy's built like he's like as fast as JOK, but 6'4". And now the more I look, I'm like, oh, man. I'm seeing him drop deep into the second round. So if that's the case, even though this Browns defense, we have to remember, is not linebacker focused at all. It's, I don't want to say throwaway position, but they like getting guys later and then trying to develop them like JOK. You need five linemen, and it's the secondary. But if you can get him and ease him in with Jordan Hickson beside JOK, you could have yourself a dynamic duo. So I can, like, that's where I would like to go. I could easily see it being a corner or a safety or whoever they have highest on their board. Could it be a tackle? Jed Wills is coming up. Maybe it's a deep tackle class. So I'd have to say this year, nothing outside of a kicker at two would blow my mind. Or a quarterback. They're not going quarterback either.
This is the deepest tackle class I've heard in like the last, I think, 10 years. Like, it's just amazing the amount of tackle talent that's coming out throughout this draft. So you're going to find – there's going to be the blue chip guys that are all going to go in the first round. But then rounds 2, 3, and 4, you're going to find those solid guys. You're going to find those guys that are day one contributors. Will they maybe be Hall of Famers? I don't know. I don't think so. But you know what? That's what this week is. More than Christmas gifts under the tree, it's truly lottery tickets. You're scratching off lottery tickets at your local convenience store. You're hoping for the three cherries or the $3 signs. And if you hit, it's great. But I always have a saying with the draft. I always say this. Hitting on a day one talent, it's great. If you do it, it's fantastic. If you can hit on those day two and three guys, that's where a general manager truly gets their stones, gets their roses. You know what? Like, really shows the world, hey, I know what the F I'm doing. So
that's the money time. Cheap contract. And the Browns did it, like I said, with Martin Emerson Jr., with JOK. You know, even DeJuan Jones, you got in the fifth round last year out of Ohio State. He was an absolute stud. Came and didn't miss a beat before he got injured. So those are three examples where Andrew Berry's good there. Now, his one blind spot in drafting has been wide receiver. And I still think Cedric Tillman's going to pay off, but he didn't really get a chance last year. Hopefully he does. Interesting. Yeah.
You know what? Well, we'll ultimately have to wait and see with all these prospects, because even though everyone, like, I know everyone's going to have that, like, Bo Callahan sizzle when it comes to Caleb Williams, obviously.
Yeah.
It looks like, I'm just saying that for the sense of, like, it's that, like, the premier kid, the...
I feel it, man.
Cream of the crop, too sweet to be sour. You know, like, that's where that comes in. But then you have number two, you have number three, you have number four. And then number 4 to 5 is truly where the chaos is going to kick off. Yeah. I know everyone says the draft starts at 2, but I truly think, like, look, it's like, one, we know what's going to happen. 2 is where it's interesting, because whoever doesn't go 2 is probably going to go 3.
Yeah.
And then 4 or 5 is really where things kick off, because that's when you're going to see teams probably get aggressive and trade up, or see, you know what, hey, a team's calling their quarterback desperate. They have the need. That's why with the top – like the top three, we pretty much know what's going to happen. I think you're going to get Caleb. I think Jaden does go number 2, and then
I like Jaden a lot.
And then I like Jaden Daniels is who I want, but I truly think it's going to be Drake May, just because of the Cliff Kingsbury effect. I feel like Cliff Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels can work in DC, but we'll have to wait and see. And then you know what, Drake May coming into Foxborough, there's not that pressure there to win immediately. Like every Patriots fan will tell you, it's not going to be roses this year, but like, as long as they win more than 4 games, I think any Patriot fan will take that. I know.
And Griff, you have to spice up the offense. Yeah, it's been so bland and boring. And if you're going to lose, at least lose excited. Jameis Winston threw you 30 touchdowns and 30 picks. It was exciting. It wasn't pretty, but it was exciting. Like, give me some of that. I'll tell you this. I think, and again, if he does go wherever he goes, I just hope they have a creative offensive mind to help bring this out of him. I see him in the same light that I saw Justin Herbert when he came out, in the sense that guy's big, he's got all the talent, he's a little indecisive. I remember to this day seeing at the combine Justin Herbert's throws. I'm like, this guy? I'm like, ugh. And then he came in, click. I think I like Drake May, and I think he has some Justin Herbert in him. But I'll tell you right now, I believe the Bears will be drafting another quarterback in 2 years. And if he stays healthy and if he gets a chance, Michael Penix Jr. could be the best quarterback in this class. You take out those knee injuries, that guy I think is the most, I think he's ready. I think he's got all the talent. He's just had so many serious injuries, and you can't take a risk on that. That's why he's not going to go in the first round. But Penix Jr., man, whoo, you take that away, I would be taking him first overall. You can't because of the injuries, but boy, that guy's got all the tools.
Michael Penn, so out of all the quarterbacks, like we know with Caleb Williams, you know what you're getting. Jaden Daniels, you know what you're getting. Drake May, you know what you're getting, but there's room to improve. JJ McCarthy has all the tools and traits to be a quarterback. He's just got to piece them together. Michael Penix Jr. is the most complete passer of this quarterback class.
Yeah.
He's a very high risk, high reward pick.
Absolutely.
I could see him going first round to one of those teams that's like, you know, in that quarterback purgatory. Like, say if he falls to like around the teens where Denver's picking, where Minnesota, where Vegas. Because remember, Minnesota's got two first round picks. So they're probably going to go, which I now I think about it, Minnesota now has your original first round pick at 23. So
that's right. Minnesota. Who's going to be trading up?
That's the thing. So Minnesota has the tools to trade up. I just, at the end of the day with Minnesota, it's very high risk, high reward too, because look, right now you're the same thing. You don't really have a quarterback.
No. Nope.
Run game's okay. You have the best receiver in football. You do have a really good tight end, but he's coming off a torn ACL. So Minnesota's in that chance. Because here's the other thing with Minnesota too. Like, you have Green Bay, who's going to be good. Chicago, I'm still going to say this. I'm high on Chicago because of their defense, but I think they're still going to be like an 8-9 win team this year.
I agree.
And then Detroit's the one team where I'm like, hey, they're ready to go. And it's no longer the, hey, look at the Detroit Lions. It's that Lions got a roar to it. So if you're Minnesota, you got to keep up. If you're Denver, Denver's that team that's just desperate. They want anything. You know that like meme of the guy where he's like hitting up threes, but everything, single thing is missing. That's been the Denver Broncos ever since they lost. They've won the Super Bowl.
But Griff, they got Zach Wilson in a trade on Monday. They're fine. Give me a break.
They're going to draft Bo Nix and have the most mid quarterback room in the NFL.
Absolute mid. You're definitely right. Yeah. The Denver Broncos are so unexciting, and Sean Payton is so overhyped in his time there. I totally agree.
They also decided to release new jerseys today with like what looked like Thunderbolts in them. And someone pointed out to be like, you're in a division where you have a team that's named is Chargers and their logo is a lightning bolt. There's a bolt.
Tremendous.
It's just the irony behind it. Then they introduced their throwbacks where everyone's like, yeah, just wear the orange throwbacks with the big D on your helmet. Denver and Vegas are the two teams, though, where I'm just like, you're in purgatory right now. Because, like, Vegas is in that position, I feel like, where you guys were in 2019. You know, it's like Freddie Kitchens is coming in. Remember?
Yeah, the low. Yeah.
But remember week one, too, everyone was like, they got OBJ. They're going to win the division. Week three, got the Rams on Sunday Night Football. Mike Vrabel went in there and just showed the world, hey, yeah, the Browns aren't who we thought they were. So that's where Denver and Vegas stand, especially Vegas, because I know Antonio Pierce is a great head coach, but when you look at the talent on that roster, nothing sparks excitement out of you. Like, they don't have any piece where you look at them and go, besides Max Crosby, that's the only thing. Besides Crosby, you got nothing. You have Aiden O'Connell, you have Gardner Minshew. Like, so it's going to be that entire division this year is going to be Kansas City, because, like, we don't know what the Chargers are going to be. And then you have Kansas City's just there, like, all right, cool. Like, I think we get a dominant KC team, but I don't know if I'm ready to pick them as a Super Bowl team just yet, because I feel like they're in that sphere where every year you think they're going to win it is when they lose it, and it's when you don't think they're going to win it, like the last 2 years.
Let's see that draft. If they go get like a stud wide out at the end of the first round, it's okay.
I think they're going to go, because when I look at them, I think they're going to go corner or wide receiver just because they do have some corners in their system. They did lose Legarius Sneed, so we'll see. Or if Brock Bowers does trickle down towards like past the top six or seven, I can see them trying to make an aggressive power play. You know what? That's the thing, though. We have 48 hours left to speculate. You have this time left to go, hey, what's going to happen with the draft? But you just got to sit back, relax, and wait for Thursday night to come around. And that's when the Christmas presents get unwrapped. That's when the lottery tickets get scratched off. And that's when fans get that sense of hope. You know, like at the end of draft day, when all the Browns fans are going, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. You're going to have 32 teams saying that with only a handful legitimately being there. So it's a time of year where fans can be fans and just be excited for the season that's to come.
Absolutely, buddy. It's always a lot of fun. There's going to be some trades. There's going to be a lot of dramas and a lot of like, oh man, I can't believe this happened, which is always a big part of it. I love it.
And when your team does something to piss you off, just remember that at the end of the day, it's going to be okay.
Well, maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, there's all those weird reports, or there's a pick you weren't expecting. Like, it's like, we need a wide receiver, and oh, we drafted a defensive edge, or
yeah. Edge. There's a plan.
Yes, that's also the name of this podcast. I was just trying to think of one, but there every team has a plan. There's picks you look at.
It might not work, but there's a plan.
Exactly. That's the thing. It might not work out. It might be the blind leading the blind, but they have a plan for now. Yeah. Does that plan work in September? I don't necessarily know, but we'll have to wait and see.
Absolutely, buddy. Listen, I hope you and all the listeners enjoy draft day and draft weekend. Not just Thursday. My draft starts Friday.
And Saturday. Right?
And Saturday. That's it. We got three days of this stuff to mill. And then after that, the fallout, right? What does it all mean? So love this time of year.
Because my favorite time of the year is coming up in 2 weeks with schedule release. I always love it because I spend the entire day on Twitter just refreshing, because I love how they hype up the release of it, but everyone knows their team schedule by like 2 o'clock.
I know. Yeah. It's just like, it's half hype, and it's, we kind of already knew it. And then that's it.
that's when you book your hotels and go from there.
That's it. That's it, buddy.
But anyway, guys, Randy McNamara and myself, enjoy the NFL draft this weekend. Episode 291 of YWC Football Talk in the books. Enjoy your days, everyone. And remember, eat your...
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, SayTheDamnScore.com.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.